It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Amen. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118:24. And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I will gladly say to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I got the last word, but we'll get it. Psalm 122, verse 1. Sometimes in the early morning, your mind just draws a quick blank, but we will be curing that blank. In Psalms 122, verse 1, it says, they just let us go into the house of the Lord. That's it. Praise the Lord. All right, friends, it's time for our opening prayer. Let's pray and move forward. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. We ask for your Holy Spirit to be with us, and we thank you for allowing us to come and worship you. We thank you for being the sovereign God, but yet, in your sovereignty, you take care of your subjects. We are grateful that your government is based upon love. Help us, Lord, to accept it, understand it, and emulate it. In Jesus' name, amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christian. It's about time. It's about time for the coming.
right, brothers and sisters, God is good. We're studying Acts 25 today, Acts chapter 25, and it begins after prayer. Father, be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days, he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him and desired favor against him that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying in wait for to kill him. Okay? And this is interesting because Festus, who would have to judge Paul, I'm going to do something real quickly, brothers and sisters. Somebody has called the wrong number, and or text the wrong number. Text. Okay. Just want to make sure the saints are with us. Okay. They wanted to poison his mind against Paul. Okay, that's what they wanted to do. So when he came to Jerusalem, it basically said they just filled his mind with all kinds of stuff. He did this, he did that, and they were all lies. You know, the title of our message is When the State is More Righteous than the Church. And I'm not saying that the state was very righteous, but they are more righteous than the church. When the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him, and desired favor against him that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying in wait in the way to kill him. In other words, they wanted Festus to get Paul to come to Jerusalem, and they would have people there laying in wait on the way and kill him as he journeyed from Caesarea to Jerusalem. This was murder for hire plot. I mean, it was a plot. Brothers and sisters, the church, the leaders of the church that was the product of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the church that came from the loins of those who were in Egypt for 400 years and saw the Red Sea open and Jordan River cross the Jordan, and the same church that whose forefathers had marched around Jericho. You know, a lot of us think that because there is a promise that the church will be successful and the church will be honored by God, we think that that is without condition. Let me tell you something, friends. Every promise of God has conditions, and every threat of God has conditions. Now, the commandments don't have conditions. We must keep the commandments, period. But the point is that God's threatenings and his commandments are conditional. In other words, if God says, I'm going to destroy Nineveh, but then Nineveh repented, God didn't destroy Nineveh because that threat was based on the condition that they would keep sinning. But when they said, oh, we're going to fast and pray, we want to find out about this God, we don't want to die, Lord, please show us yourself. Who are you? We repent of the evil that we're doing. You know, but then God promises that the church is going to go through to the end. You know, that is, you see, God is going to have a church that goes through to the end. That's why it's called in the book of Revelation, the remnant of her seed. Okay? So God is going to have a remnant of people, not necessarily an organization per se. And that's what a lot of people don't get. But, friends, that's the only way to line up all the scriptures and all the spirit of prophecy, and it all agree, okay? Because you can't just violate these powerful principles of Protestantism, which teach that the church does not have arbitrary authority, and it only has authority when it's in favor with God and teaching what is true. But when they claim that we are the church, we are it. Or anybody claims. I'm not just picking on any one church. You could be an independent ministry and have kingly power and think you're the it, and everything's got to come through you and you're going to finish the gospel. No, you're not. Matter of fact, if you have that attitude, you're going to find out in the last days you won't even be a participant in the finishing of the gospel. God resisteth the proud, brothers and sisters, I think that's found in James 4:7 and in 1 Peter 5:5. It says it twice. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. So we have to be humble vessels, friends, in order for God to work for us. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself would depart shortly thither. Let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. You see, he was more righteous than the church. He didn't just give in to their whims at first. He recognized that there would be more justice if he just went where Paul was, as opposed to bringing Paul out into their jurisdiction. All right. And when he had tarried among them, verse 6, more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea. And the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about, and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. See, the state was more righteous than the church because they at least heard Paul. They at least gave him opportunity to speak for himself. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Rome, the type of government Rome had was a republic. I want y'all to know that. Okay, now this is not papal Rome, the Catholic Rome that took over. This is ancient Rome. This is pagan Rome. Pagan Rome had a republic. A republic gave rights to the individual. Our nation was built on a republic. That's why the Pledge of Allegiance says, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the democracy. Does it say that? No, it doesn't. It says to the republic on which we stand, one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. We now have a democracy. That's why whether you're Republican or a Democrat, you hear them saying our democracy, our democracy. This was not a democracy. Democracy is mob rule. So if you can get a big enough group and cry the loudest and yell the loudest and protest with more people, you can sway the Supreme Court of this land. If you get enough people marching in front of the White House, you can sway the most powerful man probably on the earth, the President of the United States. And so that's why different things that we have seen have garnered support, because you got a bunch of people yelling, screaming, protesting, and I'm not against protest, godly protest. And I think if it's a godly protest, the more people that godly protest, then that's a good thing. But the point being made is most of our protests that we see here in America, brothers and sisters, they're not godly protests. They're not. Please understand, this is a sensitive subject because all lives do matter to God. But I'm telling you, if you do some research as to the funding for Black Lives Matter, okay, that funding didn't go to help black people. It went to help the gay community. That's the truth. I'm just telling you the truth. The facts are there, okay? And it was started by those who were in that community, and the funding that was raised went primarily to help that community. And so that's why you see a lot of them marching with Black Lives Matter, because they knew that they could use it as a springboard to push gay lives matter. Now, lives matter, brothers and sisters, and so all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if you've fornicated in any way, whether that be heterosexual or homosexual, your life matters to God, okay? So we're not belittling life in any way, shape, or form. We're just simply saying to you that be careful what you protest and make sure that your protest is something that God would protest. You know, churches closed, wouldn't even worship God. And then on the day of the Lord, they would go out and march in Black Lives Matter, shoulder to shoulder, hand to hand. But we couldn't even sit in a pew together. Something's wrong with that, friends. We're not going to worship the Lord, but we can march down the street all together in a crowd. Where was the social distancing? There was no social distancing in those crowds. So we can't have church service, but we can all come together in a crowd and march. So what I'm trying to tell you, friends, is that God does want us to godly, in a godly way, protest against evil, but we need to make sure that everything is on a solid foundation and that it's fair, you know, and righteous. We're in trouble here in America and around the world. We're not looking at things from a principal point of view. We have our own private agendas, and that's what we push. And we need to be careful because we don't want to be like the Jews with their own private agenda to kill Paul, lying, being dishonest, trying to get the government to kill him or have him killed or at least give him over to them so they could kill him. And he was, and when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove, while he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor against Caesar, have I offended in anything at all. Paul was guilty, was not guilty as it relates to what he had said and done regarding God's word. He was not guilty in any way, whether it was his respect to Caesar or of any other issue, brothers and sisters, or the temple. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? He just said, okay, let me just see what happens if I say this, because that's what they want. But the bottom line is, for him to even want to do the Jews a pleasure, he was violating the principles of republicanism. If Paul is not guilty, let him go. That's what Republicans would do. I'm not talking about the Republican Party. That is what would be done properly in a republic. So the Roman government was full also of corrupt leaders, okay? Pilate was corrupt. Felix was corrupt. Festus is corrupt. But yes, the church was more corrupt. Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou hast very well knowest. For if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, thou hast appealed unto Caesar shalt thou go. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, there's a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him. To whom I answered, watch this, it is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. Okay? So that's why we have the court system that we have. It came from the Romans, where your accusers can face you and you have an opportunity to answer for yourself and not just be kicked under the bus and condemned to die. Again, the Romans had a Senate rather than everything be determined by the emperor. There were a lot of positive things, and from those positive forms of government, we had our nation, brothers and sisters. It didn't have everything that Rome had, but the republic principle came from Rome. Therefore, when they were come hither, without any delay on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth. Against whom the accusers stood up, they brought none accusation of such things as I supposed, but had certain questions against him of their own superstition, and of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. You know, before I go into this, I want to go back. I want to say this about, because I had talked about Black Lives Matter. You see, brothers and sisters, we reap what we sow. There has been police brutality. And a lot of the riots and other things and the defunding of the police is part of that punishment that God allowed because of police brutality. So I just want you all to understand, I wasn't one-sided when I said that. I was just simply saying that we as God's people should be spending more time preaching the gospel and giving solutions from the Bible to the problems of this world, rather than picking up political arguments and rallying with them, because you may be supporting something you may not realize you're supporting. That's what we're saying. Now let's go back. It says, against whom, when the accusers stood up, they brought none accusation of such things as I supposed, but had certain questions against him of their own superstition and of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. Okay? So, he's acknowledging, Festus, that Paul really is innocent. And the things that they said he did, when they came face to face with him, they didn't even bring those arguments up. But they have some problem with this man, Jesus, who they said is dead, and Paul said, no, he's alive. That should have been enough to say, release Paul. And because I doubted of such matters of question, verse 20, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. But when Paul had appealed to be reserved unto the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him. And on the morrow, then Agrippa was come, and Bernice, with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing, and the chief captains and principal men of the city. And Festus commanded Paul, at Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, ye see this man, about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself hath appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord. Wherefore, I have brought him before you, and specifically and specially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had, I might have something to write. We don't even have the charges against him. So we'll let you see him, King Agrippa, that we might even come up with some charges to even send to with him to Agrippa. They should have let Paul go. Again, the state was more righteous than the church, but they were still corrupt. For it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crime laid against him. That's Acts chapter 25, brothers and sisters. You know, God is merciful. He's good. We need to learn lessons from these great studies and great lessons from the Bible, because these lessons will apply to us. I'm going to read a few scriptures to you real quickly. This is from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. The Bible says, I'm going to just read verse 15. It says, that which hath been is now. That which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. Therefore, it begins in the chapter by saying, I'm sorry, I thought that was where it was. Let me just see. Hold on. You all know, I'm just going to find it, though. I don't know exactly where it is, but, you know, the Bible says there is nothing new under the sun, okay? So I can't find it, but I know you all know that to be in the scriptures. This may not be said that way, but that's what this is saying. That which hath been in the past is now, okay? So the things you see in the past, the human nature, the pride, the arrogance, the lying, that is now. That which is to be, the persecutions and the challenges that we will face in the future, have already been. So we need to look at the past to find out what's going to happen in the future. And God requires that which is past. So that's why we study these things, because they give us lessons that we might be faithful in the future. All right, my friends, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for teaching us these principles. We pray for the guidance of your Holy Spirit. We pray that you will accept us as we throw ourselves at the foot of the cross, humbling ourselves on this Tuesday, that we will be just surrendered. We surrender ourselves to you, asking you, Lord, to glorify yourself in our lives. That's all we want. We trust you. We know that you will do everything that you do in the proper time. Help us to be patient, to be wise, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my friends, it's time now. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody gave me Ecclesiastes 1:9. Thank you very much. My wife and my dear brother Peyton. Let me just read it for you.
No new
thing. Yes, I said it wrong. It's no new thing, my wife says. All right. Ecclesiastes 1:9. It says simply, the thing which hath been is very similar. The thing which hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. There you have it, brothers and sisters. So you want to link Ecclesiastes 1:9 with Ecclesiastes 3:15. They both say the same thing. But it teaches us that that's why we're studying this precious Bible, because it tells us what to do in 2023. Amen. Father, be with us now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, friends, it's time to transition with our wellness to the wellness segment with the song, The Torso Song.
In the state of Pennsylvania, there's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon. Enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Amen. We're talking about ulcers today, and it's very interesting because, you know, we recommend a lot of raw food. We eat a lot of raw. I tell you that we've encouraged you to build your meals around salads, a fruit salad at one meal, a vegetable salad at another meal, so that you have plenty of raw food. That is a general principle. However, the reason why it's good to look up ulcers and understand ulcers is because you have to make a change in that until the ulcer is healed. It can be healed. And what I am saying to you applies to gastritis as well and may help some of you who have acid reflux, okay? But definitely ulcers, gastritis. Gastritis and ulcers are very similar. When the concentration of acids causes a sore, pierces the mucus lining and causes a sore in one location or at least more than one location, but it's just a limited area, that's an ulcer. When the irritation is more broad across the lining and irritates in a broader area, not so much that it's making a sore, but it's just irritating the stomach lining because the mucus is not, its acids have penetrated the mucus, then that's gastritis, okay? So, but you treat them the same way. So what you have to do, friends, is you do need enzymes, which do come from raw foods, but you have to take them in a supplemental form. So we have an enzyme formula at Torso, but you can also chew enzymes with your food, and that is, American Health is a company that makes a chewable enzyme tablet that's plant-based, okay, from American Health. You want to get the vegan chewable enzymes. And you chew several of them, like five or six, seven or eight of them. Just put them, it comes with, you know, you can get a big bottle, has lots of them. So with each meal, you just chew a lot of them to get those enzymes. Because what happens is raw food has a lot of roughage, and that roughage irritates. It's a sweeping. It's a sweep like a broom. And so it irritates what needs to be healed. And so it slows the healing process down when you eat a lot of raw foods. So you have to eat soft cooked foods, oatmeal, you know, potatoes, you know, things that are soft and cooked soups and you know, things of that nature, just not a lot of raw roughage. Soft cooked foods, then you take your enzymes, and that's how you're able to help with digestion, taking the enzymes as a supplement. Then you take something like the tummy soother from Torso, but the herbs that you want to use are golden seal, myrrh, and cayenne. Now, I don't think there's cayenne in the tummy soother, but you can get additionally cayenne. I like cool cayenne. When you mix cayenne with ginger, we call it cool cayenne. And you will often find it. There are cayenne ginger mixes, okay? So you want to take a little cayenne and ginger mix in a capsule. You want to take golden seal and myrrh. We have it in our tummy soother. But if you have it some other way, you can use the Torso enzymes also. That's on our website, torso.org. Or you can get enzymes from American Health. If you take the Torso, it's a powder, so you just want a small amount of liquid, okay? And just to get it to where you can swallow it around the mealtime. And you take things that are soothing to the stomach, like aloe vera, slippery elm. If you can't take aloe vera, slippery elm, or if you can't take aloe vera, that's fine. This is just help. It's not a requirement. But aloe vera and or slippery elm do help. And when you follow this regimen, because you're not getting the roughage, you might need to take a colon cleanse. Like, we have a colon cleanse on our website. You might have to take that just to make sure your bowels are open. So, my friends, you can actually overcome this. And, you know, where does it come from? I mean, we have a lot of – when you get older, by the way, the older we get, the – thinner the mucus lining is of our stomach. So it's easier as you get older to not have enough mucus protection as it relates to, you know, our issues. So you could have had stress in the past, and because you live a healthy life, it wasn't able to like fully manifest. But as we get older now, the mucus lining is a little weaker, things can manifest. So the bottom line is it's 100% curable. You don't have to be on a particular, Zantac or whatever, for the rest of your life. That's been my experience. I've been able to help many people cure their ulcers with the help of the Lord. He does the healing, but their ulcers were cured, and gastritis, that kind of thing. Now, you have to understand, we didn't always eat right. You know, we ate meat. We ate any time of the day and night, lots of sugar. All these things tend to hurt our stomachs, and so we want to have strong stomachs, especially as we get older. And so we want to just follow the laws of health today so that you won't have these problems tomorrow. All right? All right, friends, time to answer some questions, do some roll call. We have North Carolina on the line, South Carolina this is Facebook. We have Kenya, the country in Africa. Kenya, we have Georgia here in the United States. We have Virginia. We have in Virginia again. And then on the call, we have Ohio. We have Alabama. We have Maryland. We have Delaware. Delaware again. We have Iowa. And we have Georgia. All right. It's time to answer some questions. Also, get your comments, feedback. We go now to our dear Sister Donna from Ohio. Sister Donna, God bless you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, can you speak up? There you go. I can hear you now. Yes, yes, we're fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. I wanted to say good morning, first of all, to everybody on the line as well.
You sound like you're distant. I don't know if there's any adjustment you can make, but I can barely hear you.
Well, I'm actually, cleaning some lettuce and stuff on my shower today. So, no, not much, too much right now. But hold on, maybe I can move the speaker a little bit closer. Is that better?
I could even hear a little bit maybe, but go ahead.
Well, I wanted to know, first of all, the two scriptures that you referenced today in Ecclesiastes, because I was late getting on this morning, and I wanted to be able to read those.
Yes, ma'am. That was Ecclesiastes 3:15 and Ecclesiastes 1:9. Mm-hmm.
3:15 and 1:9. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
And then I also wanted to know, when you have you found that when you're dealing with the altars, that a lot of times you don't, you know, it's like you said with the roughage and everything, it kind of like irritates it, so to speak, for lack of a better term. But then have you noticed that when people do like the potassium broth, where you boil the potatoes and stuff, that some people find that soothing. Have you experienced that with any of your clients?
Yeah, that would be, and she was asking for those who couldn't hear, is the potassium broth, like boiled potatoes, that kind of thing, helpful with ulcers? Yes, I would put that in the category of soft cooked, you know, boiled potatoes, you know, things that are soft and soothing, you know what I mean? That soft consistency, that would be good.
Okay, and then I also ran across a recipe. I forget what the name of it was. It's often used in Chinese medicine, where they do a slow cook for rice, and then it becomes this like thick, almost pasty matter, and people eat that. Have you heard of that?
You know, I haven't heard of it like that, but that's soft cooked. I just know your food needs to be soft cooked foods. And we get our enzymes a different way, and we get our fiber a different way by taking a colon cleanse once a day. So everything you're saying, it definitely fits in the category. But to heal the ulcer and the gastritis, you're going to have to use some healing herbs like golden seal and myrrh and cayenne. But the things you're saying will keep it from getting worse.
Okay. All right, well, that takes care of what I wanted to know today. Thank you, and have a blessed
thank
day,
you.
Everybody.
Thank you. Thank you for all your suggestions. They're wonderful. All right, we're going now to our mother in Israel, Mother Harriet. Good morning. God bless you.
Good morning, Pastor Simmons. God bless you.
Thank you.
I must tell you this morning that God has used you in a wonderful way, is using and will continue to use you. I came to your urgent care 3 days ago, and I'm a new person today. Even
yesterday. Amen.
But I was doing some relay yesterday. I tell you okay. That Cascara Sagrado, I was so desperate, I took 2 capsules.
Ooh.
At breakfast, and it worked, but it was not until afternoon that I got real relief. But yesterday,
okay.
I took 1 the night, and yesterday, I could hardly help myself. But thank God. And thank him for using you and your willingness to help others. I was
Amen.
So happy yesterday. Thank God. Yeah. And talking about stomach problems, I had stomach problems for years. And I went to this gastroenterologist, and he gave me Zantac for the heartburn. And Zantac, when you read the directions on the box, it will interfere with your liver if you take it long enough.
Mm.
So I just threw it in the trash. I didn't use it. And I never went back to him either.
Well, you know, in medical school, that's what they're taught. So, but some of the doctors do know natural remedies. They just had to learn them like you and I did.
God's pharmacy doesn't cause you to have after effects like that. And
yes.
I thank God that he has, although this world is so sinful, God has still left some cause that we can use to get well. Praise his holy name and thank him for having you to help us.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from whom all blessings flow. Thank you for sharing. God be with you.
God bless you.
Amen. All right, my friend, it's time to go ahead and close out with prayer. My wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. And now, Lord, we ask that your spirit will continue to be with us throughout this day as it leads, guides, directs, and instructs us. We pray that you would bless everyone on this line, asking for special healings to be granted for spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical. And we ask, Lord, that we can cooperate with you in these efforts as we do all we can to be obedient. We thank you for your word, and now we pray that we'll be able to meditate on it and to be able to continue to study these things out for ourselves. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children, and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. If we do our part in faith, God will open ways before us now, Undreamed Of. God bless you. All right, my friends, it's closing song time. I will trust in the Lord from the Master's Chorale.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord.
Till I die.